welcome back to another segment of the Just M part of the Mom Struggling Well podcast. We are going through John, and we are just kind of taking it little by little, reading a little bit, applying it to our lives, regular devotional stuff. Some of us find the Bible overwhelming. Some of us find the Bible boring. Some of us find that we are so exhausted, we're having a hard time pulling out a bunch of stuff on our own. So there's lots of places that we all come to this from. I'm excited that the Lord is so faithful to bring things to mind and teach us exactly what we specifically need to know. So I prayerfully consider these passages. I do some research about it, and then I tell you what I think, I tell you what I learned, but I encourage you to read it for yourself. Spend some time with the Lord and ask him what he wants you to know. Because I promise you, he wants you to know things because he is a loving father who cares for you and wants good things for you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed. He's for you. So let's see what we can learn today. Today we're going to be in John 3 verses 22 through 30. So I'm going to go ahead and read those. I'd love it if you'd go ahead and get a Bible too, so you can see it with your eyeballs. Even better, a Bible made out of paper, like an old-fashioned actual Bible. So you can write on it and just kind of internalize it. I'm not against electronics, but I love an actual Bible. Okay, so John 3, starting at verse 22. So we're talking about John the Baptist. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them, and he was baptizing. John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And what that means is baptism. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase and I must decrease. Okay, so that's our passage for today, and I love it. So as I looked at this, it seems very clear that it's broken up into two parts. So we've got verses 22 through 26, where John's disciples are seeing what's happening, and they're kind of thinking a one way. And then we see verses 27 to 30, John the Baptist is thinking a whole different way. Okay, so we all are familiar with the glass half full and the glass half empty. Optimist, pessimist. There's two sides to every coin. Like, this is just the actual playing out of the fact that we can choose our perspective. In the beginning, we see that John's disciples are saying, listen, look at that guy. He's gaining on you. You're losing influence. Him becoming more popular must mean that you're becoming less popular. You becoming less popular, less influential, less noticed, that's not okay. You told everybody about that guy, and look, now that guy is just like taken off. You're being left behind. You're losing ground. He's winning. All these types of things. There's animosity, there's jealousy, there's envy, there's comparison. I am pretty positive that all of us can identify with that in some way. It's why, like, they say nurses eat their young. Why do we do that? We're all nurses. We're all working really hard at cleaning up vomit and wiping people's butts. Like, it's so gross. We should all be in it together and, like, helping each other. But no, we're envious. Oh, she's faster at, I don't know, changing a wound dressing, or people seem to like them better, or what. Like, we just don't think about how we can bless one another because we're in that kind of lower thinking where we're just kind of comparing and thinking, if you're doing well, that must mean I'm not doing well. But that's not the way we need to think in the kingdom. We're not going to run out of God's love, favor. He has no lack in resources. When someone else is doing well, we can celebrate that. But that's not what was happening here. Another version of the Bible reads, are you aware that the one you told us about is now baptizing everyone with larger crowds than yours? People are flocking to him. What do you think about that? I love that this is happening in the context of baptism. Like, this is so not something that is not a problem in the church. We all are looking around, getting all bent out of shape because of other people's successes. We look at even other moms and say, oh, she is such a good cook. She always cooks dinner well. She has a thigh gap. I'm not even anywhere near a thigh gap. That lady wrote a book. I haven't even done that. Her house looks like Pottery Barn. My house looks like something off of Hoarders. Her kids are not completely embarrassing all the time. She has amazing clothes. Her quiet time, the one she took a picture of on Instagram, that looked so peaceful. She's so holy. It's hogwash. It doesn't even matter. But we do. We look sideways at each other. My friend Elisa Keaton, who I'm constantly talking about, but she says so many things that blow my mind. But she says, if you're going to look left and right at your sisters on either side, it better be to bless them, not to compare yourself with them. But if you're going to take your eyes off your own paper and look around, it better be to encourage and spur on that mom that you're looking at. Love that. Okay, so because John is super duper smart, godly, wise, he takes this opportunity to set his disciples straight. And he even says, hey, I told you that I'm preparing the way for God. Remember when I said that? That's what I was doing. That's what I'm still doing. And then he said, a person can't receive anything unless God gave it to him. That's James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. We just need to remember that. Every stinking thing we have that we're good at, that's from God. It's not from us. Ellie Holcomb, who I'm super obsessed with, I love her music. It reminds me of one of her songs called The Only Hope I've Got. And it just says, like, basically, forgive me for taking the gifts that I've been given by you and claiming that they're my own. The tricky thing is we look at other people's gifts and we think those are way better than the gifts we have. But again, total baloney. Stop it. So then John moves to comparing himself to like the groomsmen, and Jesus is the groom. So I did a little research on this and really got pumped about what I learned. So where we in our like Pinterest board day and age, I mean, my wedding was way before Pinterest, but we're always wanting to be the bride and nobody wants to be the bridesmaid. You know, we even say always the bridesmaids, never the bride. Well, that's kind of the lower thinking. That's the comparison thinking. That's when's it going to be my turn type of thinking. But John is highlighting here like, no, I am the groomsman. That's my honored, privileged position. So in that day, and it's kind of that way in our day and age, but in that day, the groomsman was selected by the groom to conduct all the marriage negotiations on his behalf. So he was like an ambassador. He was the one who carried messages between the groom and the bride. So he was like the middleman. It was a very important role. The groomsman made all the arrangements necessary for bringing the bride to the groom. He was a trusted friend with the privilege of looking after the bride until the groom came. So John is saying here, he is pleased to direct people to Jesus. His job was to prepare the way for Jesus. It made me think of my own wedding. When I woke up the morning of my wedding, one of my bridesmaids had made me pumpkin muffins with chocolate chips in them because I'm that girl who's obsessed with pumpkin stuff. And those are my favorite muffins. And another bridesmaid went to my favorite coffee shop and got me my favorite drink. And while we were getting ready, it occurred to one of them that we had lost the flower girl's basket that all the flowers were going to be in while she walked down the aisle. And just some other random problems arose, but I didn't know about any of that because they took care of it all for me. It would have been really weird if they were sitting down getting their makeup done and they told me I needed to go find the flower girl basket at my own wedding, right? They understood they were not the center of that day. I was. And I'm telling you, it was pretty great. But what an important paradigm shift for us to have is to go, no, I am not the bride. I'm the bridesmaid. And it's awesome. That's exactly where I want to be. I point people to the Lord. I elevate the Lord in my life. And when I'm tempted to think those lower thoughts of envy and jealousy, comparison, I just remember, nope, God needs to get bigger. I need to get smaller. He must increase. I must decrease. And I think something else that's interesting is that John had already told them this. He already said, I'm preparing the way. And they're like, okay, we got it. And then they come back and they're like, hold it. He's taken all your glory. And he had to say, listen, I'm preparing the way. So he had to keep reminding them. So the people around us are going to keep reminding us, hey, did you see that person? They kind of threw shade at you. Did you notice that? And yourself, you are also always going to want to say, oh my gosh, my kid is being so rude right now. Or that friend is not being that good of a friend. Or can you believe my husband did this and that? We have an enemy who wants to remind us of all these things so we can elevate ourselves. We want to elevate ourselves. Our culture tells us we need to elevate ourselves. So there's going to be a lot of things coming against this higher thinking where we can remember we are a daughter of the King. Everything we have comes from Him. There is no lack in the kingdom. And we just need to point to Him and not to ourselves. Nobody makes Pinterest boards for being a bridesmaid. I mean, maybe they do, but largely, we're mainly making our Pinterest boards about being the bride. But we need to really have a paradigm shift here. So how can we struggle well with this news? Why should we care? One really easy way to do it would just be to write, he must increase, I must decrease, on a note card. Put it by where you wash dishes. Put it by where you do laundry. Because man, it is just our natural bent to want to increase. Maybe this week you talk with God and say, listen, I am looking around and I'm seeing a lot of really good gifts that you gave to other people. I'm kind of feeling like I got the short end of the stick here. Can you please show me what you've given me and give me so much contentment and thankfulness for those gifts? Maybe this week you struggle well by looking to the left and right and just blessing those women that you see. They are your sisters. They are not your competition. So that's all I've got for this. So good. So many good things to think about. We got to chew on this for a while and just plead with God to make it sink into our lives and make us act different. Guys, go ahead and make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Go ahead and subscribe to the show so that you don't miss any of the segments. When you shop on Amazon, make sure to use the show's affiliate link. It really helps me out to cover the costs of making this show for you. The way that you do that, you just need to go to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. It'll use the show's affiliate link, doesn't cost you anything, but Amazon gives a tiny percentage of your purchase back to the show. Go ahead and stay connected with me. I love chatting with y'all throughout the week. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Mom Struggling Well. I would love to hear what you're learning and what you thought about this episode. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, us decreasing is kind of like the opposite of what we want to do and what we naturally do. Thank you for your grace and your patience with us. If I were you, I probably would have struck us all by lightning a long time ago. God, I pray that throughout this week, every time that we feel ourselves wanting to rise up and make ourselves bigger and more noticeable and more impressive, God would just whisper to us a reminder of this passage and what John did and how we need to follow that example. God, will we not resent those times that we want to get big and increase, but remember that they are tools that you're using to teach us, to give us opportunities to practice decreasing. Lord, would you help us decrease when we are cleaning up the kitchen for the millionth time that day, when we're doing laundry that the children just threw their clean clothes in their dirty clothes, and we are trying to help them understand that that wastes time and energy and water. Just please help us to not resent all the things we have to say 1,000 times, but that we would make much of you and decrease ourselves and our preferences and our selfish ambitions and the things that we want to do just for purely ourselves that are just not necessary. And I'm not saying we don't need to take care of ourselves, Lord. Help us to balance all the shenanigans that go on in a mom's life. But pray that you would help us to think of you more, to make more of you, and to be less concerned with our reputation and where we're going and how we're being made much of. In Jesus' name.